Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your websites, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Good afternoon. It is a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I'm Scoot. Welcome to our show this afternoon. There is a lot of new equipment here at WWL. They're investing a lot in our show, a lot in our station, and this is really, it's exciting that we've got all this new equipment. However, that means adjustments, and some things are going to sound a little, things might sound a little different. So, you know, management has told us to be patient, so I'm going to ask all of you to be patient. And, I mean, not that mistakes really matter on our show, because we make them all the time. We're human, and we don't make a big deal about that in this show. Is not scripted, so there are mistakes that happen when we try to do different things. But there might be a few bumps in the road along the way today and tomorrow as we kind of get used to this new stuff. But it's really cool that they've got brand new equipment in here, especially from Ian Sandpoint in the other studio. All of that stuff is brand new. On my side, the sound, the headphones, and some of the things involving the show and the mic and the headphones, all of that is new. It sounds really cool. So I hope it sounds cool on that end as well. Well, it's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, and we have a lot to get to this afternoon. It's a really pretty day. And I don't like talking about a real downer of a topic, but we have to because it's happening in Louisiana today. There's going to be an execution for the first time in a long time. And this is going to be the first execution in Louisiana by nitrogen gas. Now, last week I brought this topic up because some judges had ordered the execution halted. Because they were told and they wanted to investigate whether or not nitrogen gas, was a cruel and unusual death. And there was a case, I believe, in Alabama where somebody was convulsing and shaking, and apparently it wasn't pretty, and it took him 22 minutes to die. There have been 5 nitrogen gas executions in the country. This will be the first in Louisiana. And last week when I talked about this, everything that our listeners said, some of our listeners have been involved in the chemistry industry, and everything that they said made it seem as if nitrogen gas would be a really easy way to go. They will kill you instantly. And those who deal in the chemical field have been taught to deal with nitrogen gas and precautions to not expose yourself to nitrogen gas. And somebody called and talked about something involving somebody that he worked with, and the person was just instantly dead. My point was, why is it so difficult to bring life to an end? why don't they use fentanyl? Why don't they use morphine? Too much morphine, too much fentanyl, and you're dead. And before you die, it seems like you would just go into an unconscious sleep. And maybe they don't use fentanyl, maybe they don't use morphine, because those are like common drugs and it has to be some kind of, you know, execution-only injection that is used to execute people. I don't know what the answer is. We can debate whether or not the death penalty should be in existence. We can debate that. But it's not that difficult to bring life to an end. People overdose on fentanyl every day in this country. And it seems like it's a pretty easy way to go. I mean, if you're going to go. The other part of this is, if we're going to have the death penalty, then, okay, let's do it. And the idea that every death needs to be somehow a pleasurable experience. I mean, my God, we're talking about death. It doesn't have to be a totally pleasurable experience. I mean, these people are on death row for a reason. And again, I'm conflicted over the death penalty, and we can talk about that this afternoon, because there's going to be an execution that takes place in the state today. I guess that's going to be tonight. And you can imagine how this guy feels sitting there. He's going to die tonight. And I don't know how a human being feels knowing they're going to die tonight. And it's not like you're sick and you know, you say, well, tonight might be the night. It's not like you're really sick and ailing. It's like you're totally healthy. You're totally conscious of what's going on around you. And you're going to be dead tonight. I can't imagine what that feels like. So we can talk about that this afternoon, but it's really interesting to me that these arguments about the death penalty, it's cruel and unusual. Well, you know, maybe it is a little cruel and unusual. I mean, killing somebody is a little cruel and unusual in and of itself. But we have the death penalty on the books. And if we're going to have it, then let's do it. And there have got to be ways, like nitrogen gas or fentanyl or morphine, there've got to be easy ways to kill somebody. A lot easier than the electric chair, which I've talked about here in Louisiana, was named Old Smokey. Because, like, the person in the electric chair is like, you know, I mean, they're dying, they're being electrocuted, and like smoke is coming out of their head. It had to be horrific. The smell of burning flesh had to be a horrific sight. The gas chamber had to be terrible. Hanging had to be terrible. Firing squad had to be bad. The guillotine, I mean, I guess that was pretty fast, but, you know, you chop off somebody's head, and sometimes you would hear stories about the eyes would still blink after the head was severed. The mouth might move. I mentioned this the other day. I mean, you know, what if the person was there and they just, right after the head was severed, they just shouted out a big F you. I don't know. Could that happen? I mean, would you still be, I mean, would your brain still be active for a few minutes and you'd know that your body was severed from your head and there your head is in a basket or wherever and you're still conscious for a few minutes? I mean, that could be cruel and unusual. But these injections seem like they're about as easy as it can be. Now, I want to go into some detail this afternoon on what this man did. Because it's real easy to look at him today. And he's a really nice-looking guy. He is apparently a Buddhist. I guess he became a Buddhist while he was in prison. The other thing that the defense team is bringing up, which is just really stupid, that the death penalty and lethal injection is going to prohibit him from being able to practice his Buddhist faith, which has to do with breathing. The meditation has to do with breathing. Well, death is going to stop him from practicing his Buddhist faith. Death is going to stop him from breathing. So again, I know that these lawyers are desperate to keep this man alive. But if we're going to have the death penalty, and if we are absolutely sure that this is the person that did it, then we need to do it. And if not, then we shouldn't have the death penalty anymore. And we can have that discussion. So we'll talk about that this afternoon. Also, Adam Kinzinger, a former Republican representative who was on the January 6th committee, is daring Donald Trump to arrest him. Because President Trump is talking about arresting and jailing the members of the January 6th committee. Two of them were Republicans, including Adam Kinzinger. He says, bring it on. He said, I will kill you in court. I mean, not literally, but he said, I will kill you in court. And, oh no, he said, I will crush you in court. He said, bring on the challenges. And if you really want to do this, then do it. We will crush you in court. So he's telling Donald Trump, just stop mouthing off about it and go ahead and arrest us. And I don't know that Donald Trump is going to arrest them, because there's got to be somebody smart around the president who's going to say, you don't have a case here. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, the Furry Act is back in the news. Legislation that would prohibit any non-human behavior by a student, including presenting him or herself on days other than exempt days as anything other than a human being. This is being introduced in Texas. This is about the rumors, the fake stories about a furry subculture in schools where the students were given an option. There were litter boxes in the bathrooms, and they could either use the urinal, the toilet, or the litter box. Again, these are unsubstantiated rumors. So based on the rumors, there's a Texas Senator Stan Gertis, who has come up with this legislation known as the Furry Act. We'll talk about that only because it's just fun and it's just stupid. And a little bit of stupidity goes a long way on our show. Also, Canada, if this tariff war continues, Canada has a new weapon that they're using to threaten the United States. Have you heard of Pornhub? Yeah, Canada owns Pornhub and could easily block U.S. access to the porn site in retaliation against the United States in a tariff war. But, I mean, would that really have an impact on the U.S.? I mean, if you want porn, is that the only place to go for porn? Or is it such a great site that if Canada blocks the U.S. citizens from going to Pornhub, that's going to have some kind of a big impact? Oh, my God, no, don't do that. Hey, we're all for the tariffs, Mr. President, but not if it takes Pornhub away. I don't know. We'll talk a little bit about that. The polls are showing the Democratic Party is in the crapper. Ratings are at a record low for Democrats. I posted a video on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. In fact, you can still comment on that this afternoon, because I'm going to read some of the comments and I may get to yours. I'm going to read some of the comments this afternoon. Let me warn you that already there are comments on this post on SOTA Facebook that are from people who suffer from TDS. TDS. Trump Deranged Syndrome. And they're Trump supporters. There are Trump supporters who suffer from TDS. And some of the comments relative to the post that I did, the video that I did, are from people, Republicans with TDS. So we'll get into that a little bit this afternoon. And also, President Trump is defying a federal judge's order to stop deporting violent illegal immigrants while the judge reviews the legal challenge. Now, how can we be a civil country if the president of the United States refuses to listen to judges? This concerns me. Does it concern you? And there were a couple of people who posted on my Facebook page that all Republicans love Trump. That I'm just making it up when I say that some Republicans are questioning Trump and turning on Trump, and some Republican politicians are turning on Trump. And not turning on him in terms of total support, but criticizing some of his actions. And there are people out there who actually believe, and there's nothing you can do about these people. I mean, they can't help the way they are. I mean, God made them this way. They can't help but believe that everything that they want to believe is true. And they can't believe that it's true that there are some Republicans who are questioning Donald Trump. So we'll have a little fun talking about that this afternoon. If you do have a comment and you want to join us about anything we talk about this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Of course, we have a lot of baby boomers listening to our show. We always welcome the Xers, the millennials, and the Zoomers to our show. We realize that, you know, you can't just cater to the existing talk audience. And so our show is for younger people as well. And we're not a conservative show. Now, I am conservative in many ways by nature, and I have more in common with conservative ideology than with liberal ideology. Unfortunately, there are some people who think that I'm a total left-wing wacko. I'm a total Democrat. I am a registered independent. I am a radical moderate. And based on my opinion, that's a fact. And, you know, I'm conservative when it comes to some things. I'm liberal when it comes to other things. I really am more like a lot of Americans than people want to believe, because most Americans are not all right wing or all left wing. So keep that in mind as you join our show this afternoon. All right, Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. How is it in the new spaceship over there?
I think it's okay. Let me turn down my headphones. Wait, let me turn down the speakers here. How's that?
Yeah, you sound fine. I sound a little different to myself. I don't know if we sound any different to the audience, but the equipment in here is like new. It's fresh. It's shiny. It's a really great compliment that they're investing in our station, and it means that they have a lot of respect for what we do. And WWL is a really unique station in our company, because we're all free to express our opinions, and not everybody's the same. You know, Tommy Tucker has his show. Noel Norman has his show. I have my show. There's sports talk. There is no other station in the country like WWL. And I personally think it would be boring to tune into a radio station where everybody had the same opinion. I mean, to me, that would be like monotone. It would be boring. And you would always know what everybody thinks. You would always know what everybody's going to say. If you see a topic in the morning, if you see something on the news, you can tune in and you already know how everybody's going to feel about it. You tune into WWL and you're not really sure what I'm going to say about something. You're not really sure what we're going to say about things, because it's not all the same. And I love that. So the equipment looks good.
Yes, the equipment looks good.
But I have been through in my career, I've been through situations where suddenly there is a new control board in front of you. And it is quite a challenge, because everything is different. And what the audience might not know is, you know, when I go to hit the turn on the mic button, when I go to hit a call to get a call in the air, when I do certain things, when I check the volume on my headphones, you know, we're used to it all being in the same place. We're used to it all being the same. And when it's not, it's a challenge. And then Ian's got commercials and calls and all kinds of stuff to deal with in there. And when stuff is in a different position, it's quite challenging. You know, it would be like if you're at a cubicle or you're at a desk and suddenly your computer was on the other side, and the phone was on the other side, and you had to if you had any writing to do, you'd be in another location. And in other words, everything would be different. And so I respect what Ian's going through. I've gone through it in my career, and it's a challenge, but everything is going to be smoothed out real soon.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like you've been driving, I don't know, like a Hyundai Elantra for 20
yeah,
years.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're in the cockpit of an F-22 Raptor. It's not even the same vehicle, man.
Yeah,
it's not,
I know.
The steering wheel's in a different place. Like, this is a totally different machine, and it's very exciting. I gotta say, Danny and Ernie really put it in this weekend. I mean, big time. They were here throughout all of it, working, you know, 16, 18 hour days. Things are, you know, these little kinks are kind of popping up that have to be ironed out very quickly. And our engineering team here in market, along with Armando Gonzalez, who flew in from Dallas to help out, man, we can't thank them enough. They really did us a solid.
All right. Now, so this guy who is like head of like the technical stuff in our company, regional, he takes care of this regional area. So he's in Dallas, and he would be in charge of New Orleans. Now, since he has a chance, and you know, they're paying for his trip here to New Orleans, why would he not want to delay things so he can stay in New Orleans longer? I mean, why would he not go, hey, wait a minute, I think we need to check this. Wait, let's check. I'm not ready to go back. It's not all set yet. I want to stay in New Orleans a little longer.
You know, I wondered the same thing. I was like, why wouldn't you just stay here a little bit longer?
Yeah.
It turns out, He's got a family, and he wants to spend time with his family.
Oh, gosh.
And he's prioritizing that, and that's just fine and well, and that's what we all do as well. So, you know, it's okay.
No, I mean, I understand
what do you
that.
You come here, you work for 120 hours in a row. Yeah, go home, man. Go see your wife and kids.
No, I totally get it. But look, thanks to Danny and Ernie and Armando, you said?
Yeah, Armando.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for the job that you're doing. But yeah, I mean, it would be kind of cool to have a little extra time in New Orleans.
We have a new sort of face around here. Ryan, who was also here all weekend. Thank you to him as well.
And you were here.
I was not here Saturday or Sunday, but I was here sort of late on Thursday and Friday.
Okay. And did Coleman come in too?
Yeah, Coleman and Cullen were both here a lot this weekend.
Oh, okay, cool. Dedicated people here.
Yeah, it's really been a team effort. And, you know, Tim Zimmer has been great, very, you know, helping us kind of be the guy on the front lines who, like, figures out, oh, this doesn't work the way it used to, and now it works this way, and you got to figure it out, and everybody's sending emails to all the rest of the team saying, hey, here's how you, you know, split the phone into two different channels, or here's how you route up the traffic brick, or whatever, you know, all these sorts of different little things. So it really has been a time for all of us to shine under the leadership of Danny and Ernie and Ryan and Armando.
And I'm sure this
and
is
Diane. Diane also, you know, who's the programming director, she really got her hands pretty dirty with this project as well. I mean, she's in here asking questions, making sure that people are testing things out right so that people like you can come here and have kind of an easy time of it. You know, Diane's really been shining as well.
Well, you know, the great thing about Diane is she really understands talent, and she understands being on the air, and just she understands this side of the business, and she wants it to be right for us. And boy, there's nothing like a boss that really understands your situation. And some of you have that kind of boss. There's nothing worse than a boss that really doesn't understand what you're going through when you do your job. And man, we have a boss who gets it and tries to make things good for us. But, you know, hey, we want to thank the company Odyssey for investing in WWL, investing in our shows, and you know, giving us this really cool stuff. I know we have to get to a break, because if we don't get to a break, we're not going to be able to pay for all this equipment.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you know, our bosses understand talent. I hope they understand us going to break 10 minutes late, because we're complimenting them on their work.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I'm Scoot. We're going to come back with more. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It's Tuesday. What a great
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Great afternoon. Okay, so I guess we just have a little technical issue there. See, that's why we explained all the things that we explained about the new equipment that we have here. We're still trying to figure that out, and it's okay. It's cool.
I will commit a murder.
We're going to be patient.
I hate this.
You need to be patient.
I mean, I'm cool. I'm chill, but
It's going to be fine.
Give me a few moments.
You know, I've been through this, and it's you know, it's tough because Ian and I are both perfectionists, and we want it to be perfect. But we also know that perfection is boring. I mean, honestly, if something was perfect all the time, if there was never a flaw, never a glitch, if something was just perfect all the time, it would be boring as hell. So, you know, I guess our show's going to be anything but boring, because it's certainly not going to be that. Look, let's get on to this serious issue. And it's a very serious issue when you execute somebody, you take a human life. And that's going to happen in Louisiana, because the judge that held up the execution of Jesse Hoffman has now agreed that the execution can go forward, and that using the injection of nitrogen gas is not cruel and unusual punishment. And he's going to be executed. I'm not sure what time. I don't know if I have the... I'm sure the time is out there. I just don't have it in front of me. But he's going to die today. The calculated taking of a human life is very serious. One of the reasons that I am very ambivalent about the death penalty, and I was for the death penalty until I saw a movie called Execution. And the movie is by a local filmmaker, Steve Scafidi. And I would recommend that you Google this movie and try to find a platform to watch it on. It's called Execution, and the producer is Steve Scafidi. It follows a real-life situation of a man on death row at Angola. And it leads up to the execution. And having watched this movie, I realized that humans, in a very calculated manner, taking a human life is serious and may indeed be wrong. Again, this is my opinion. You may have a totally different opinion. But as I've said, I'm hypocritical in this sense, because if somebody did anything to my son or my family or my grandkids, I'd want them dead. I would want them to die the most horrific, painful, lingering death possible. I would want it to be slow and painful. But I think there's something that is possibly inherently wrong with, over time, calculating the death of another human being. And this is why I'm conflicted. I'm not totally against the death penalty. I'm not totally for it. But if we're going to have it, there are ways to bring life to an end. And I think as this man is, look, if you look at a picture of this guy who's going to be executed, I mean, he's a nice looking guy. I mean, look, okay, if he were ugly, it doesn't mean that he should be executed. But my point is, people are going to look at him and see a nice-looking guy. And he might be really sorry, and after all these years of doing, I think this case is 29 years old. After all these years, he is a different person. And over time, people can change and become different people. So we're executing a different person than the person who acted when they committed the crime in the first place. But I think it's important to share a little bit about the person who died and how they died for you to remember why this man's on death row. Because to look at him now, you know, you might think, well, I mean, why are we killing this guy? Why don't we just give him life in prison? Well, you know, life in prison is certainly an option. Life without parole is certainly an option. You know, but for me, I would not even want that human being, that person, that animal, if they did anything to my family, I would not even want them breathing the air that I breathe. I would not even want them to be alive. I would want them to be effing dead. But again, the conscious taking of a human life is a challenge for me. So let's go back to what happened. The person who was killed is Mary Elliott. She was a 28-year-old advertising executive. She left her office in the French Quarter in New Orleans, and she headed to her car. She was driving to meet her husband for dinner. A parking lot attendant kidnapped Mary, raped her, and dumped her nude body along the East Pearl River near the Mississippi-Louisiana state line. A duck hunter found her body at 7:45 the next day, which was Thanksgiving Day, 1996. This is an account in the USA Today. And let me get to a little more details. Her name was Mary Elliott, but she was called Molly. So we'll call her Molly Elliott. Let me get to this this part where they go into a little more detail about her death. And again, I think it's important that you are brought up to date on what this person did that led him to be on death row. So she leaves work. She worked for Peter Mayer Advertising. I've worked with them on and off over the years. And I possibly even worked with Molly. I don't recall, but I possibly worked with her or had some encounter with her. She left around 5 o'clock, walked to the Sheridan Hotel garage where she parked her car. And Peter Mayer Advertising was around the corner. She was supposed to meet her husband at the office at 6 p.m. They were going to go to dinner. Jesse Hoffman was 18 years old at the time, and he worked at the garage, had been working there for about 2 weeks. So he kidnapped her at gunpoint and forced her to withdraw about $200 from an ATM. The video at the ATM shows the terror on Molly's face, and you can see Hoffman standing next to her. He's got a gun, and you can see the terror on her face as she's withdrawing money from the ATM. And he's standing next to her. After getting the cash, Hoffman forced Molly to drive to a remote area of St. Tammany Parish. Can you imagine how she felt in the car for that long drive? Not knowing what was going to happen to her, but having an idea of what might happen to her. A man with a gun got some money from her, and he's forcing her to drive across the lake to St. Tammany Parish. They end up in a remote area. I want you to think about how Molly felt at that point. She's supposed to meet her husband for dinner. But this 18-year-old thug monster with a gun kidnapped her. Here she is in a remote area with this man with a gun. Can you imagine what she's thinking at this point? In his confession, he said she begged for her life. She begged for him not to hurt her. He then raped her. We know what that means. I mean, rape is a word that is used so often, I don't know that it always accurately describes the process. But he forced sex on her. I know you know what that means, but rape seems to be a little sanitized compared to what happens during a rape. He raped her. What could she be thinking at this point? This was in the car. He forced her to get out of the car. And he walked her down a dirt path to an area that was used as a dump. What would be going through her mind at this point? Her death march ultimately ended at a small makeshift dock at the end of this path, where she was forced to kneel and she was shot in the head execution style. It is believed that she survived for a few minutes after being shot, but she was left on the dock completely nude on a cold November evening. She was left there to die. Her husband identified the body that they found on Thanksgiving Day, 1996. Hoffman said that at the time, he didn't rape her because she offered herself to him and said that she was killed by his gun when it accidentally went off. The jury rejected those arguments. And Hoffman was convicted of first-degree murder, and the death penalty was recommended. He acknowledged his crime. He said he was deeply remorseful. His attorney said that he takes full responsibility for the very tragic, awful crime. He's very sorry to the family of Molly Elliott, and he wishes to have opportunity before he dies to have a face-to-face conversation where he can apologize in person. I don't know if that happened, but I thought it was important for you to be exposed to basically what happened to Molly and why this man's on death row. Because all these years later, this man apparently has changed and he's sorry for what he did. But sometimes sorry isn't enough. And you need to know exactly what happened to Molly and why the man's on death row and why he's being executed today. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. The execution of Jesse Hoffman Jr., the convicted 1996 murderer of a woman abducted here in New Orleans, is scheduled to happen between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. this evening at the Louisiana Penitentiary at Angola. So the clearance has been given. So this is going to be nitrogen gas. It's not going to be an injection. I've been confused about this, so let's be clear about that. It's not an injection. And Governor Jeff Landry signed a bill last year making nitrogen hypoxia a legal alternative to a lethal injection. So no injection of the nitrogen. It's going to be a gas. And it seems like it would be an easy way to go. Let's go to Lewis in New Orleans. Lewis, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, Scoot. This is Lewis Arsenault. I'm actually a Catholic priest, Father Arsenault. And I was part of the delegation that went to Baton Rouge to present the governor with a list of over 250 people signing, encouraging him to not to restore the death penalty. But in terms of this particular case, I appreciate the way you handled it very even-handedly, presenting both the horrid details of the young lady being killed after being raped, but also how this young man has changed so much. I don't know whether you saw it, but there was an article in the Picayune yesterday about someone who's gotten to know him, and he's become a model inmate. He's a model to others. He's a character to a lot of people, and there's no reason in the world why he should be killed now, because he is totally changed, and he realized he was an 18-year-old who was not really in charge. The other point I want to make is Steve Scafidi is a friend of mine. I've actually seen the film. I just talked with him and told him that you had seen the film, and so there were just a few things I wanted to mention, and I appreciate your...
Right. Now, Father, the Catholic Church is officially against the death penalty, correct?
Yes, definitely, yes. Because we're pro-life totally.
All right.
Totally now. And that has gradually graduated over the years now. The governor tried to say that years ago they were for it. Well, we do change, you know, we do grow. We get to know things, and so we have changed. And it's based on respecting the dignity of every human being. And we do not condone the killing, but killing one person to take up for another guy. And, you know, and as you also reported, it's at least members of the family of the victim who would like to meet with him and listen and talk to him, and he'd be happy to do that now. In fact, he sent a notice to them that they never got earlier, admitting, you know, the horrible thing he had done early in his life and how much he has changed. So,
Father,
the other final thing...
Yeah, go ahead.
The final thing I want to mention is, you're talking about that gas can be easy, but this man has become a Buddhist over the years. And what's important to him is his breathing approach that Buddhists go through. He won't be able to do that if they stick that mask on him.
Well, he wouldn't be able to, if it was the electric chair, he wouldn't be able to breathe for long with that either.
He would. He'd be able to breathe until they shot him. He even said that. He'd rather be shot than that. So it's a much more complicated issue than I think you tend to make it out to be. I mean, the basic issue is I and many, many of us do not think it's right to put anybody to death And that doesn't make up for what's happened.
No, I understand that. I understand that point of view. Father, I've got to get to a break here, but I do appreciate the call. Yeah, we're going to come back and we're going to continue this into the next hour. But also, I want to talk to Sidney Torres. You know, there's been a lot of talk about IV waste, and Sidney Torres, what a great job he's doing in the quarter. How does Sidney Torres get his employees to do such a great job? They're picking up trash. They're in the trash business, and they do a great job. How come so many people have a difficult time getting their employees to do a great job, and yet he does? What's that secret about? Well, we'll talk a little bit about that, but also we're going to talk about the death penalty, because for the first time in a long time, somebody is going to be executed here in Louisiana. It's going to happen between 6 and 9 tonight, and we're talking about the death penalty. I'm Scoot on the air on WWL. All right, coming up in the next hour, let's continue this conversation about the death penalty. We're going to execute somebody here in Louisiana. It's going to happen tonight between 6 and 9. The crime the guy committed was a horrific crime, but he was 18 years old at the time. Do we forgive people? Do we give them a chance to change? Should it be up to the family of the victim to decide whether or not somebody lives or dies? Should we have the death penalty? You know, over time, people change. Should we execute somebody who's changed? We're going to talk about all of that coming up in the next hour. Plus, a conversation with Sidney Torres about IV waste. I'm Scoot on WWL.